What's up, everyone? Welcome in to More Important Issues. Hey, we had them for a half, baby. Vols didn't cover. We'll get into that in a second. More Important Issues is brought to you by our sponsors, Tennessee Tap House, Hound Dogs, and Blue Water Climate Control. Also, Billy Ratliff's Tap 40 Grill. And here's a quick word from our good friends at Blue Water Climate Control.
People always ask, where did we get the name Blue Water Climate Control? When a Navy ship casts off lines, exits the harbor, and loses sight of land, that's blue water sailing. It takes a team of people to do that. Tireless work, focus, and attention to detail. So much of starting a business is just like that. After it's done, you get filled with deep satisfaction for accomplishing something. And it's quickly followed by, now the real work begins. We're Blue Water Climate Control.
Balls are back.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Tennessee wins!
By Tennessee, Jawan Jennings!
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Grit it, dit to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It's Monday, September 27th. I enjoyed what I saw of the game. We didn't get to watch it all. What's up, Credence? Good to have you in here. We didn't get to watch it all. We were at a wedding. Fun time. Great time.
I did watch it again.
I haven't done it yet, and I can't decide if I'm going to put myself through it. Because I really just, besides, I think the only like bad play I caught was the fourth down play. Yeah, so I'm like, do I have to put myself through that?
That's up to you. I mean, I guess we're already talking about it, so I guess you don't really have to.
Right. I mean, that and that's kind of good thing is I can kind of come in here with like, I'm just talking about like, I mean, the exciting things really, because we did get to see pretty much the entire first half. Which was the positive. I mean, Tennessee almost goes into half tied with a team that's much more talented than them right now. You should have. And I mean, from what I've seen of it and what I've read and heard from other people, it seems like the game was called pretty well. Seems like it came down to mostly execution. And then I think what Tennessee's been fighting, unfortunately, like this doesn't make sense, but it kind of does. For the last 10 years is depth. I mean, when you get into the second half late and you guys are, you know, winded, your guys are winded and they still have, and I don't, I mean, now this year you're talking like physical bodies. You only have 70 something scholarship players, but you know, last year or the previous years, you've always fought kind of like good depth. Well, now you're just actually fighting depth as a whole. And so you don't expect the second half's when you kind of get in. I mean, I'm impressed they even play with a half. I'll say it. But the second half's when you get into, well, I mean, do you even have the people to play with teams like Florida? Is that not a worry? I know I'm not trying to like start looking forward to Kentucky, but is that not even a worry for like a program that's been more consistent like Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, you saw Todd Grantham's. Did you see his comments just a second ago?
Oh, not a second ago. I did see Dan Mullins like right after the game about the team. I was like, oh, whatever. I don't care what Dan Mullins says.
Yeah, he was pretty positive. And then Dan Mullins admitted that he rested guys for this game. And then Todd Grantham said, it's a much more difficult challenge than, say, last week, talking about Kentucky's offense.
Interesting.
I'm like, Tennessee had more total yards than Alabama did against Florida. So,
which is not good for what the score reflected.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
I mean, yeah. Interesting thing to say. I mean,
right, because it wasn't really your defense that really didn't. I mean, we didn't turn the ball over. It was just more of self-inflicting wounds. Tennessee had 10 penalties again.
Right. That's a big concern because it's been not only did it happen in this game, like it's been a consistent factor. Historically, Josh Heupel has struggled with that. So that's a concern. Like you said, I mean, I guess when you look at that, there weren't any turnovers. You're right. You did have what, 400 plus yards of offense?
Yeah, 423.
So, it's amazing when you look at that and you didn't score enough points, and it's definitely concerning. I mean, I know we're gonna get into thoughts on Heupel, and I guess it's good that there's times the offense looks better, but at the end of the day, it comes down to can you score and can you win? And so far, the two games Tennessee's needed to do either one of those things, they haven't.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. We've kind of talked about the offense and how they need to have big plays within this offense because of their lack of depth. And then they just haven't been able to get turnovers. And then we've had a ton of turnovers, but kind of cleaned up that regard. You won the turnover battle, but I don't think it was enough to really get you over Florida.
Well, and then, yeah. And, you know, one of those turnover or the turnover came not, it didn't give you like great field position. So it's not like it's great to get turnovers. I'm not bashing that, but it's not like you said, it didn't give you enough. You didn't go score on it. Your offense didn't take over in great territory. I mean, it was good field position, but it wasn't like automatic score field position. So
Ryan, and that was right before the half. So it could have been 24-14. Yeah, sure. After Tennessee was leading 14-10, it could have easily been 24-10, and then you get that turnover, I think, around the 20, Alante Taylor with an incredible play. Aaron Beasley recovered that fumble and then drove down enough time, got you into field goal range, but Chase McGrath couldn't capitalize on the 47-yarder. And
right,
you went into halftime 17-14. Florida comes out, kind of goes down the field with ease, and then Tennessee drives down the field, 4th and 5. And you have the perfect play call to Jimmy Callaway over the middle, a little crossing route, and it hits him right in the hands, and he drops it. I mean, and then Florida goes down and scores, and I felt like the game was kind of out of reach. So, you know, that was a huge turning point in that game where, you know, we could have been talking about it being 21-24 going into the fourth quarter, ended up being 31-14.
Yeah. I mean, obviously turnovers are big and that's great. I didn't even consider, like you said, it could have been at least a 4-point swing.
Cause Jimmy Callaway, he probably scores on that play.
Oh man, that sucks. Like that was heartbreaking.
I know we've had a lot of bad overthrows. There was one to Jacob Warren in this game on a wheel route that, you know, probably would have been a huge play and just didn't connect. But, dude, the receiver's got to catch the freaking ball. I mean, this is just – this is one of the first things you learn in football is to catch a ball.
And it's, you know, obviously you're never going to be happy with drop passes, but it just feels like you're not getting an edge anywhere. Like, all right, now we're hitting the receivers, but they're not catching them. Mm-hmm. And so, that's incredibly frustrating too. Yeah. There's two catches that pop off right now in four games that I'm like, you need to catch that. That's a big turning point in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was super impressed with Tennessee's run game. I thought they ran the ball well, considering that Alabama just ran for 91 yards just a week prior. Mm-hmm. Rushed for 148 yards, 4 yards a carry. I thought Jabari Small ran well. I thought Tyon Evans looked like a freak. Especially on that screen pass he took to the crib. And then, I mean, he just runs like a freaking horse.
I think he had more – he did. He had more receiving yards than he did rushing. So,
yeah. I thought Jabari Small played well. I know he was kind of banged up coming into this game. And I think he got a little banged up in it as well, but I thought he ran the ball well too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the playmakers on offense, they played well. Obviously, you're going to need you need more because you have to score. You have to score points. That's what this game comes down to. Like you said, you gained plenty of yards. I mean, that's not that big. Like you've got to get on the board. Chase McGrath, you gotta make field goals. Tennessee does have to do it. If you want to look at just not scoring, Tennessee's got to do a better job on third down. I'm trying to find the exact total, but you punted six times, and I think I can think of three fourth downs that we went for. Did we go for more than that?
I have the
we were 5 of 13 on. Oh, we just went for it twice. 5 of 13 on third down and 1 of 2, 1 for 2 on fourth down.
And I think that was on the same drive. I think we got first down, and then Jimmy Callaway missed that.
Then you had that drop. Yeah, I was thinking you had 2 on 1 drive and then 1 on another. But yeah, that third down efficiency of 5 and 13, like you can't have that. If you punt the ball 6 times, it's almost certain you're not going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to punt 6 times and do that. So, I guess with at least the way your defense is playing. And I don't think the defense is just playing terrible. At least the last – you know, the game against Pitt, I thought which it is kind of a nature by the way Pitt plays, but thought you played good run defense. And then, you know, you almost got to Kenny Pickett a couple times. You just didn't have that last guy to bring him down. So I think they played okay, the defense, but they're not good enough for you to punt the ball 6 times to win.
Yeah. And, you know, the defense just didn't look great at all. Just did not contain Emory Jones. You know, that was a big key going into this game. Couldn't contain him. And then, you know, a guy who's leading the SEC in interceptions didn't have a single one and was 21 for 27. So, I mean, it just wide open spaces. It felt like, you know, it seems like every time he dropped back to throw, there was an open receiver for whatever reason. So, yeah, the defense wasn't super impressive. You know, I did mention the play by Alante Taylor. That was a huge play in the game. I'm just, you know, the D line has to have contain. They let him get out of the pocket and get loose. And when your safety is leading your team in tackles, it's not good. No. But when he's doubling everybody else, it's really not good.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. And you mentioned right at the beginning of that, you were unable to contain Emory Jones, 150 yards rushing. I mean, If you let him, we said it. If you let him get out of the pocket, I mean, everyone said it. If you let him get out of the pocket, like, that's where they beat you. And sure enough, kind of makes it look easy. I'll say this, and I think a lot of people were like, is Florida really, really good this year, or is Alabama down? Like, which one is it? I do think there's, and not that I think Alabama's terrible. I mean, they're still going to be a playoff contender and all that. I don't think Florida's great. I think Florida's going to be in pretty much every game they play, as far as, you know, Georgia. We'll see what LSU looks like, you know, throughout the year, but I think they're going to be in every game they play. I don't think it's, you know, they're not bad. They weren't an unbeatable team on Saturday night.
No, but Emory Jones, if he plays like, if he has an out of body experience like he did Saturday, I mean,
it gets to way much, much tougher to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, I think that defense is good. Even though I thought Josh Heupel had a good game plan and called the game really well, in my opinion. You have receivers open. It's just execution.
Right.
I mean, Josh Heupel can't go out there and do it for you.
No, but he can't. And yeah, again, we'll get into thoughts on Heupel. At some point, though, it's got to get done, or eventually everything comes back to the coach. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
That's part of being the head guy. But no, I think as far as just talking about Florida, I think Kentucky could potentially be a really, really good game next Saturday night.
They haven't looked great in the last 2 weeks.
No, Kentucky hasn't.
I know Todd Grantham said that, but, you know, is that really saying a whole lot? I mean, maybe it's just a shot at Tennessee just because of the rivalry, but is it – or maybe he's just respecting Kentucky this week.
No, I mean, that's definitely shame trying to jinx Tennessee it. Regardless. So.
Right. But yeah, they haven't really impressed. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that they're a much better team than Tennessee right now.
No, I don't think it's been a I don't think Kentucky necessarily looks great this year. I just think they're a lot – they're closer to Florida than probably past couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say they're every bit as close as the year that they won in the Swamp.
Yeah, probably. I mean, especially if you're able to
– Sorry, go ahead.
Especially if you're able to get Emory Jones to turn the football over.
Well, I was going to say, is Florida maybe a little bit better than that year? Maybe. Defensively, probably. But I think Kentucky's it's I guess that's a good point about you saying they haven't played great the past 2 weeks. Or is the SEC kind of getting a little bit more – are things starting to close in for everybody?
Not I mean, it kind of seems like that. It kind of seems like that across college football.
And I think too. I don't think it's like I think there's still a really really big gap between like Alabama and South Carolina. But is the gap closing between South Carolina and those people that had kind of been sitting at that second level for a while, like Florida? Well, they did play in an SEC championship game this year or this past year. But are the gaps getting a little bit tighter? I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see. Obviously, South Carolina and Florida will play this year, so you'll know. But
and I don't think it's much so the lower teams coming up. I feel like the you know, like a Clemson.
You see Clemson, yeah.
Has come like back down to earth. It feels like a little bit.
No, certainly does. And
Ohio State thing. Feels different.
And I haven't watched Ohio State, so I'm kind of curious to see when I do get to watch them, like what is that going to be like? I'm really interested. I think the gap is still big between like the top and bottom teams. I just think maybe the middle's maybe a little bit stronger. So it seems closer. The lower teams seem closer to the top teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
But NC State being Clemson, that is hilarious, regardless of how Clemson's performing this year.
I mean, is Clemson butt? Like, are they that bad?
The only Clemson game I've watched was the
Georgia
game. No. Did I get to watch? Yeah, I did get to watch that. I was like, did I watch that? Yeah. So getting.
I do think their offense is that bad. I think their defense is pretty good, but their offense seems – I mean, they didn't score against Georgia, right. Which I know it's hard to do. Vanderbilt couldn't figure it out either.
You think Georgia could have loaned them some points or something.
I know. I mean, I didn't hear Clark Lee after the game talk about Georgia's five stars. Not yet, anyway. Maybe that's to come, but
– I just love that, like – I love so the question was what makes Georgia good, right? Wasn't that the question to Beamer?
Yeah. Or what makes their defense so good?
And it's like, is that the only thing? I mean, obviously that's a big part, but it's funny. I thought the response was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was very sarcastic and could have come up with a good answer, but it was a hilarious answer regardless.
Right. The quarterback situation, it's Hooker. I mean, that's your answer.
Better. Yeah, Hooker's better.
Not saying he was all world, but I thought he played pretty well. You know, he did miss on that big throw to Jacob Warren, but he was under pressure all night, and you know, I think he gives you the best chance to win. I'm kind of nervous saying that because Jeremy Pruitt also said that about JG. But from what I've seen from the games, it seems like Hooker's your best option.
I don't know how anyone would disagree.
Joe Milton came in 2 for 8.
Right.
And more overthrows.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that this could Joe Milton be the guy later on in the year? Maybe. I mean, maybe. Because I think it's literally just the overthrows, right? I mean, what else? Yeah. I mean, I guess he had some trouble protecting the ball against Pitt. But other than that, it's like.
But can you get that fixed?
Right. Like, I mean, I don't know if you can get it fixed. It seems like something that should be fixable, but I don't know. We'll have to ask that guy that calls Tennessee fans racist, the quarterback coach.
Who?
He said everyone hated Josh Dobbs because he was black. The QB coach that he was like, he was really big for like, 3 or 4 years on Twitter.
Mm.
I guess he still is big. He's probably verified. So I guess that counts for something. I can't remember his name. He's worked with like quarterbacks from the NFL too. I think he had Deshaun Watson. You know who I'm talking about?
Not really.
Gotcha. Well, he's Josh Dobbs' quarterback coach.
Tennessee does need to get healthy, though. You mentioned depth. There's not a lot of it, so we can't be having a ton of injuries. I know Cooper Mays was back. He probably wasn't 100%, but it seemed like the offense flowed a little bit better when he was in the game. Tyon Evans, he went in, he went out, but I think he came back in. Latrell Bumpus, Hooker went down. So, you know, Tennessee has to get healthy to be able to compete. You know, I feel like they need Hooker, they need Cooper Mays to win this week in Como.
Yeah, yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. I laughed at that too. You want to read it or me?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Go for it. It's all you.
So Oreo Puppy Dog said, I would tell you a joke about Milton, but it would go over your head. That's great. I love that. That was a
good one. Did you rip that off? Give credit, Oreo Puppy Dog. We cite our sources here.
Overthrow Joe. Oh, man.
All right. So let's, I mean, unless you have some other things, I know we kind of discussed it, things to fix for this week. And I'm not going to call it Como. I don't like that. In Columbia, things to fix to win. Do you have anything else you want to hit on? I know that obviously you need Hooker to be healthy. You really need some other guys there to be healthy too. I think Missouri's probably a similar team in Tennessee where their offensive rhythm isn't incredible, but they could hit on some big plays. This game is not unwinnable for Tennessee.
No. I do think defensively, I think you need more from that linebacker position. I thought Jeremy Banks, it seemed like he was all over the field. You know, I don't know coverage-wise what exactly they're in at different points in the game. But I just think they need something else from the other spot. Aaron Beasley had a fumble recovery. But Juwan Mitchell, I mean, where is he? He credited with one tackle. That was the same as our long snapper.
Yeah, wasn't he the leading tackler at Texas last year?
Yeah, for the last 2 years. So I just don't – I don't know if injury, I just don't know. But I've yet to really see him make an impact in any game so far this season.
Right. And that what you said about Jeremy Banks, he's definitely been all over the field. He's just not necessarily always made plays when he's gotten everywhere. So, But he's been everywhere.
Yeah, and – you know, I don't know if they – I thought we'd get more of a pass rush with Byron Young, and I don't know if that had to do with Florida's offensive line just being better than what we've seen, or Emory Jones just, you know, when he got pressure, he was out of the pocket. But Tennessee was only able to get home one time, and that was Jaquan Blakely. So, definitely need to find a pass rush. The defense just did not impress me. I don't think they're getting a lot from – the safety position either. I know Trayvon Flowers had 15 tackles, and that goes to say something, but there's just not a lot of plays being made by the defensive backs and especially at the safety position. So I don't know if, you know, you get more looks at Christian Charles or other guys, but it seems like, you know, something needs to be done. You got to have playmakers back there. You got to have guys that can get – cover some guys and also get some turnovers. And Tennessee just hasn't had that to this point except against Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't really have anything else to add as far as things to fix. But I would like to – obviously, a better pass rush is going to go a long way. Now, I think that's a big one that needs to be addressed. Like you said, you thought you were going to get it fixed with Byron Young, and that just hadn't been the case yet, so –
and, yeah, and penalties, and some of them are pre-snap, and I think you came out of a quarter on you're going to go for it on fourth and two, but you got a delay of game after a quarter. How does that happen?
There's been some weird.
Or I think it was third down out of the quarter.
Yeah,
you been run the ball. He picks up 6 yards and fourth and two, you get a delay of game. How do you get a delay of game in this offense? That's insane to me. I'll never understand it. But yeah, just stupid penalties like that that have just shot this. Like, we're not good enough to overcome those.
No, we're not. Nope.
We don't push the ball down the field very well. We're not very accurate at times. So we can't be getting into to third and 18s, third and 12. Especially against a really good defense like Florida, is just not going to work well for us. That's the second time going over having double-digit penalties in a game. I mean, we had three on special teams.
And in games that you really can't commit penalties. So.
Right.
Yep. So, thoughts on Heupel. I mean, I guess that's the first one, is we've got to fix this penalty situation. I mean, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, they get a penalty. Make them run some stadium. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I don't know if you're doing anything. But it just can't happen in SEC play.
No,
to your biggest game so far, you've had double-digit penalties.
Well, and like going forward, these games, I mean, this stretch of games, that's going to be really, really important, because they, you know, at least two of the three can be very, very close games. That, you know, the teams aren't much better than you at really in any specific area. So when you're talking about a game that coming down to the wire could be a 3-point, 7-point game, one score game, those penalties become even more important. Not just the penalty yards, but down and distance. Like you said, third down, it can't cost you to go from third and two to third and seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really, really important these next 3 weeks. And I don't know how you fix it overnight. So I don't see it being fixed. I'll look at Missouri with another game that you're talking about Tennessee having over 100 yards in penalties. If it gets fixed, great. But I don't know how it does. So that's going to be one thing I think Missouri is going to be favored in the game because of.
Yeah. Yeah, my kind of thoughts on Heupel is like, I mean, he's getting people open.
Through the first four games, it feels a lot like the first couple games of Bush Jones' career. Didn't start the right quarterback.
I thought you were about to say Jeremy Pruitt, and I was like, no. I might have to disagree.
it feels a lot like the first couple games of Jeremy or of Bush Jones' career, where the offensive play calling was good. You felt it was good. You had execution was one of the big issues.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the play calling is perfect. Josh Heupel's play calling hadn't been perfect, but you felt like there was a lot of lack of execution. You felt like there should have been another quarterback. So this does feel very, very similar to the 2013 Bush Jones. So that makes me hesitate what changes going forward now for Heupel, because what's happened that's not going to dictate how the rest of your career goes. It's like what's happening while you're here. The rest of the time is what's going to dictate that. I agree. I think the play calling has been good. It's just how it feels to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't think Hooker's played bad, so I don't want to say like he has to have better quarterback play, but I feel like it's, I don't know, just on the cusp of being different. And I think you need a really good quarterback in this offense. And I don't know, like, if Taven Jackson's that guy, great. But I don't think you're not getting a five-star winning six games a year. It's just not going to happen.
And that may not matter, because he's not going to, like, he may start right away, but he may not. But also, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't guarantee you anything, because look at Clemson right now. You just went over about how bad. I mean, they had the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, they look terrible. I mean, he was a Heisman front runner, and right. He threw for 111 yards against NC State.
Yeah, not no bueno. I'm definitely not calling for Josh Heupel's head or anything. I'm not ready to call for a job. But I mean, it's just not been. The reason it's not been super impressive is because you're talking about you're not scoring points. Well, you did score on Pitt. You scored 34. But I mean, obviously 14 against a division rival isn't good. Not going to win you games. So I mean that stuff's got to happen. And I do agree. I think there's a lot of execution issues, but eventually that falls back on the coach. So
yeah.
What's he going to do to fix that? And you know, I think we questioned Tim Banks quite a bit. I think he's called a pretty good game so far. I think it seems kind of, first off, I think there's a lot of times where I think the defense has had some good drops. Felt like the play calling was really good. Execution was good. And there's been some times where you're trying to figure out exactly kind of what's going on. But I think overall, Tim Banks in his first solo defensive coordinator position is, I think he's doing an okay job. I mean, it's going to be kind of what you do going forward still, but I don't think there's any red flags for Heupel right now.
Yeah, I think you've not met expectations. Like, I feel like we're kind of where everybody thought we would be.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, Tennessee didn't cover, but if you actually took Tennessee to cover 18.5, I don't know really what to say about you, because whether I think they could or not, I know how this game usually turns out. So yeah, if you put money on it, that's your loss.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. I guess that's the biggest thing is Tennessee is where everyone thought they would be. So you can say that to Josh Heupel. You can say you're not above expectations, but I don't think he's below expectations either. Maybe at the quarterback position is where you're below expectations.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I thought the offense would really carry this team. But it's kind of been the defense up to this point.
Even then, though, with the quarterback, everyone's been saying, well, Hooker transferred for a reason. Milton transferred for a reason. Bailey hadn't played any. So you thought you'd get more out of the quarterback position, but also everyone was kind of warning everyone about this.
Oh, yeah. I got a call. Like, as soon as Milton was named the starter, somebody told me, hey, I'm a Michigan fan, and Joe Milton can't hit Aaron Judge if he was standing right next to him. I was like, oh, I kind of laughed, but now I'm just like, oh, God, he was kind of right. He's kind of right.
Well, let's fix it, because you're traveling to Columbia, Missouri, and this is a very winnable game. Very winnable game. A Missouri team that's 2-2 with a loss in SEC play as well. That one to Kentucky just by 7 points. I think the spread at one point was 14.5. I knew it probably wouldn't be a two-score game like that. But, you know, they did play with them. I think they were down 14 before they scored their last touchdown. Mm-hmm. So barely covered. But this is a chance to go win. It is a noon game. And South Carolina is a noon game too.
Yeah, what? I mean, I get it, but it's super annoying. It really sucks because Missouri is playing North Texas at 4:00.
So that part I don't get. I get that Tennessee is going to get one of the later slots, but I don't understand why Tennessee's playing at noon. And like you said, Missouri's playing North Texas at 4:00. I don't get that.
Yeah, you got two new head coaches. Why not? I don't know. It's just like, how many noon games do we get?
Please, Ole Miss, don't be a noon game. Please.
Yeah, I mean, like, at least make the parking a little bit cheaper if you're going to do that. We're only getting, like, 4 hours of parking.
I do like that. I like the away noon game. I'll say that just because.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, get it done.
Wake up. Watch some game day. It's on.
I liked our setup this week. I need to go ahead and get the new Apple TV. But the setup, well, you did get to use more than just ESPN, though. But that TV was humongous, so that assisted in that. But yeah, that's Ryder Cup too. Ryder Cup helped.
But, are you coming in this week? Are you staying? You staying here? Okay.
Yep. I'll probably watch the game with my grandmother this weekend. Actually, definitely will. And then I'll also be out of town for the South Carolina game. I will be in South Carolina actually, so I'm going. Me and Shane Beam are switching places for the weekend.
Okay.
So
cool.
It is an 11 a.m. game, Graham. Yes. Or it's 11 local.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's 11 local.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it even worse, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like, why? Like, there is a lot. There are a lot of Big Ten noon games.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Are we going to go down to Charlton Tarleton today and get this thing done or what?
Maybe. We get that bowl game in at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Grass is still soaking wet.
Exactly. Exactly. I joke that the refs are from John Tarleton. Maybe the whole Tennessee program is going to end up at John Tarleton. Maybe that's why John Chavis started coaching down there. Just getting ready for the big switch.
No chief.
Do you know if he's still at West Middle, by the way?
I have zero clue.
Okay. I didn't know. Just curious.
Maybe ask around. See.
I'm sure somebody knows.
See, is he waiting on another job, or is he just retired?
I think he's living every like old guy's like retirement dream, where you just go coach like high school. No, it's middle school, but go coach like high school football for shits and gigs.
Is his like grandson playing or something?
I have no idea. I don't know how that all came about, but he came when they like started that new league. Like it's an actual like league now. They play on like Thursday nights.
Okay.
Yeah. So other than that, no, I know nothing about the situation. Don't even know if he's still coaching.
No clue.
No clue. God. How much money did you win this week?
About 100.
Okay. I won like $50.
I had a good day yesterday. I didn't have a great day Saturday.
See, I didn't do a single NFL bet.
Oh, really?
Well, I didn't watch a single game. Well, I'll take it back. I watched the Green Bay game. But I didn't get home until almost 9.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I didn't get to watch anything. Threw up on the side of I-40.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my second time throwing up on I-40. Third time also, on the interstate.
Tony P.
I got a beer with Tony P.
Tony P is the MVP.
Ooh, you think Chad won't listen? He's on his honeymoon. Surely he won't listen, because I don't want him to know until he sees the pictures. I have now shotgunned a beer and done a keg stand with Tony P.
Tony P. Dude, if y'all don't know who Tony P is, that's fine. But if you go to a wedding and you see the guy that's just absolutely electric, that's Tony P.
Chances are it's the same Tony P, too.
Just know, like, you don't have to ask their name. It's Tony P.
It's definitely Tony P. It was always Tony P.
It was always Tony P.
Oh, I love that.
If you go to a wedding, be a Tony P. How about that?
Everyone should be a Tony P. Dude, this is a great college football weekend, though.
I like a lot of good – I like the lines this week. I think they're a lot better
than I'm talking about this past week.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about betting. I'm talking about, like, an actual great week in college football. You had App State and Marshall on Thursday night, which was a great matchup. I didn't watch the Charlotte Middle Tennessee game, but I heard a lot of people say it was a good game.
Syracuse, Wake Forest, baby.
Liberty had to be close. Wake Forest covered.
Also, screw Liberty.
Liberty.
So they had fourth and goal.
Yes.
And went for it and ran right up the middle, didn't get it. And that was to tie the game.
That would have been to win.
No, it was tied. Yeah, they just had to kick a field goal to go up. And they tried to go for it and didn't get it. And then Syracuse went down and kicked a field goal and won.
I love it. Hugh Freeze, baby.
How does that even happen? All I needed them to do is win. And I won the parlay. Parlay was in play, baby. And, God.
It sounds like it's your fault that they lost, actually, then. If you had a parlay with them in it, that's your fault. Like, yeah, definitely your fault. You get it.
They were 7-point favorite. I just needed a money line. It was Hugh Freeze, baby.
Love to see
it. Oh, shit, it came to UT.
Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Could you imagine the fan base if that happened at Tennessee this week?
Hey, did it out of shotgun. So I'm sure people were yelling about that. I just love that, like, Tennessee fans do make it sound like it's an automatic first down if we get under center. I'm like, yeah, if Tom Brady's the quarterback.
I mean, at that, just run up your center's butt. Actually, put Cade Mays at guard and just run up his butt.
That's what Tom Brady does so well, is run up his center's butt.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to see.
And some quarterbacks, I won't name who, try to go freaking over the pile. To be fair, that's a cool move. But you shouldn't do it as a quarterback.
Also, Ryan Jansen is not a guy I want to, like, run up his – like, he just looks nasty.
You got to be nasty to be a center.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why Tom Brady likes it.
Oklahoma booed their quarterback this week. Calling for Caleb. No, I guess they didn't boo him, but they were chanting the backup's name.
Understandable.
To be fair, I've told Oklahoma all along, Spencer Rattler sucks. I don't necessarily mean in football. He's in general.
Yeah, he's not a great person. You saw that in that QB One show. He was just a...
I don't know him personally, but what I do know of him.
Yeah, he was just a shithead of a teammate.
Right. moving on from that. Arkansas upsets Texas A&M. Speaking of terrible noon games, two top 10 teams. West cross-division game. Noon. Arkansas and Georgia. What the hell?
Who's the late night game?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I need to look up that. Like, there must be some better games. I don't even know what. I can pull up the schedule for this week, but
I can probably. It's okay. Ridiculous. So the 7th, or are you talking about this week or next week?
It's this week. The Georgia Arkansas game.
Oh, okay.
But it got they didn't choose the times until, you know, Arkansas beat Texas. Like, they had already beaten Texas when they made these times.
I'm trying to find.
Dude, I can just pull up the schedule.
Sweet.
Give me 1 second. Looking at some. Oh, the Notre Dame Wisconsin game got out of hand in a freaking hurry. In a hurry.
Yeah, it did. Okay, so
North Carolina six, sucks.
So the 7 o'clock game is Texas A&M, Mississippi State on SEC Network. Georgia, Arkansas is on ESPN at noon. Kentucky, Florida is at 6 p.m. on ESPN. LSU and Auburn play at 9 p.m. on ESPN.
Okay.
How is South Carolina and Troy playing at 3:30 on the SEC Network? And then Alabama, Ole Miss is CBS 3:30. Which I don't want any part of CBS games.
No, I'm good. Except for the dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. And turn it off.
Dun, dun, dun. Dude, that's the greatest song of all time.
Vanderbilt gets a night game against UConn. It's on ESPNU, but they still get a night game.
Well, they're just – they don't want it to be as bright in there when they get slaughtered. So,
I mean, like, it sucks we paid all that money for all these lights and we got all these noon games.
They couldn't have been that expensive. Every school in Knox County has them.
That's true.
Auburn almost got beat by Georgia State.
Oh, man.
Yikes. LSU and Mississippi.
What about
State?
Dylan? We're at the wedding. We're about to run. We're about to walk down the aisle. And we're like, Dylan, we weren't about to.
It was at the end of the wedding.
Oh, we're about to take pictures. That's right. And we're like, hey, what's the score? And he was like, oh, Georgia State won. It's over. Dope. Pumped. I was like,
we won a lot of money. Well,
yeah.
No, we didn't.
And then somebody said, Auburn just got the ball back. We're like, what? It's over. Like, no, it's not. Jesus.
LSU and Mississippi State couldn't decide who should lose. Kind of went back and forth there. Mississippi State lost. I don't think anybody won. That was an ugly game. Missouri and Boston College. Yikes, Mizzou. Yoikes. And then the game of the week. How good is your Tennessee Vols? Bowling Green 14, Minnesota 10. What the hell kind of boat are they rowing?
That looks like a great win. Bowling Green looks like a great win, in my opinion.
Bowling Green's one of the worst FBS teams. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Pitt also put up 77 points. I don't care who it was against. They put up 77 points. That's a good win, too.
That's fair.
Even though they lost to Western Michigan at home.
Duke beat Kansas. Love to see it. A little Cutcliffe action. We briefly mentioned Kentucky 16-10 over South Carolina. Indiana is terrible, too.
They are terrible.
Indiana and North Carolina, are they the most overrated team so far this year? Texas A&M?
Besides Clemson?
Clemson and A&M are probably, I guess, the first two. And then the second tier of that is North Carolina and Indiana. What was A&M's preseason rank? Do we know?
It had to be up there. Probably top 10?
I was thinking closer to top 5. I don't know if they were in the top 5. They've got to be close. They had to be close. They should have lost to Colorado. They lost to Arkansas. Yikes. Which they did lose Haynes King for the season.
I don't know if it's for the season.
A&M was number six. Start the season.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, I guess, I mean, Clemson fell back to what, 20? They had them over 25. Did they finish 25th?
Yeah, I think they're 25th okay. This week. 9 of 25 real quick.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
I mean, freaking Dabo just sprinting down the hill and touching a cheerleader. I mean
I think you're the only one that's I've seen it. Did someone else tweet that, or did you come up with that?
Have you not seen it?
I saw it, but I haven't seen anyone else be like, and run down the hill and touch a cheerleader. So did you make that up, or did someone
else? No, that's in the video.
I know, but no one else said that.
I don't think anybody else has talked about that. I mean, maybe his priorities lie elsewhere.
Oh, that's a great question to ask.
He was going full-on Lane Kiffin when he was at Tennessee.
People are asking. Oh, God. All right. Anything else?
Kind of weird, Dabo. Kind of weird.
Getting weird on us. Anything else for week four? That's all I got.
Maybe she's the backup quarterback. She's coming in. They're going to chant her name.
Ooh, we haven't talked about this. Josh Heupel. Does he respect the troops?
So let's get to some questions. I got some of those.
Is there a question about that?
That's part of it, yes. So name can't be blank. Said looking for any Vols who disagree that in canceling the game with Army, Vol football shows cowardice and disrespect to the military. Please try to explain how this is not an embarrassment to the program.
Wait, somebody asked that question?
Yeah. Yeah, they asked us, yes.
So they think it's an embarrassment? That person thinks it's an embarrassment?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I've always said, and I understand the – you know, could you see injuries against Army? It's bad timing in terms of the schedule. I would rather see Tennessee play Arkansas than Akron. Like, I wish they had just kept the game.
You mean Army?
Army, what'd I say?
Arkansas.
Army, so many freaking A's. Jeez.
Freaking Alaska's next.
Yeah. So rather than keep Army than Akron. I think it's a cool game. I think it would have been cool to see Army play in the stadium. I don't give an F about the wing tee. Bring it on. Whatever. Tennessee should beat them. All that noise. But I don't think it's an embarrassment that they can't, like they bought out of the game. That's an absurd take, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not an embarrassment at all. And it.
sorry. It's no more embarrassing than the last 10 years of Tennessee.
Right, exactly. Like, how much worse could it get? But yeah, I don't think it's disrespect to the military. I mean, they paid them.
It's 100% not disrespectful to the military.
Yeah, they paid them not to play, number one. So,
Army had to agree to that buyout too. It wasn't just like,
right,
we're done. Like, it was a contract. They, you know, if Tennessee had to uphold it, they had to uphold it. So that,
I mean, Dave Hart's idiot ass shouldn't have scheduled it in the first place.
So then, like, when was it scheduled? What year?
It was like Dave Hart's, like, last year.
I think buying out of the North Carolina game is far more embarrassing than buying out of the Army game.
100%. Yeah, I just don't. I don't understand the.
Because buying out of the Army game, I think, has to do more with.
You play Florida the next week.
Not want to play the triple option.
Yeah, you play Florida the next week.
Buying out of North Carolina, you were just scared.
And if you saw this week, you can't afford to have any injuries when you have linemen cutting you every single play. But
Landon, what about the Medal of Honor recipients? What about them? I mean, how will they ever enjoy their time in Knoxville if they can't go watch Tennessee and Army play at noon in the 90-degree heat?
Yeah, it'd be so great. I mean, we literally had a flyover the first game. We have guys stand up, and we honor them every single game. We don't have to play Army to do that.
Maybe Tennessee shouldn't play the national anthem anymore since they're not Americans.
Yeah.
Also, that's such a weird insinuation. For a ton of reasons. It's a very weird insinuation. Also, I feel like because Army's not coming now, and it's Akron, there's probably more tickets to give to them if we want to spin it that way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, for the same reason I said, like Army, any of the service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, if they came to Neyland, I think that would be a cool game to go to. Like, those are historic programs, obviously Army and Navy. historic programs. It would be cool to watch them play my team. Akron, I don't give an F.
Yeah.
I may not even go.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably go just because.
We'll see. I'm not planning on I won't make plans to do it. We'll just maybe.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of playing Akron at noon. I wasn't going to be a big fan of playing Army at noon.
Correct.
It's
just.
It's somebody's pulling something up to try to.
I don't get it. Let's at least just be like Tennessee's burning money. That's fine take. That's a fine take. It's the middle. But what about who's the hell's that? But what about the kids? What about the Medal of Honor recipients? That's very long-winded of you, Blake. I don't know if yell that at the rally. You should protest, Blake. You should protest at the Medal of Honor recipient ceremony. You should protest and be like, we should have played Army. They would all agree with you, apparently, in the way you see it. So,
right.
Also, let's assume Tennessee's going to beat the shit out of the Army. Isn't that kind of like spit in their face? Also, are all the Medal of Honor recipients of the Army?
Yeah, did they all go to West Point?
It's just it's an absurd take. And it got dumber the more you read the article.
Oh, I didn't read the article.
Oh, you should. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I'll cliff note it for you. I pretty much did. You got the point.
I'd rather go watch the first half of Bowling Green in Tennessee after we scored two touchdowns.
Pass. I'm out.
I'd rather us go play. Rewatch the Ohio Tennessee game from 2016. I'd rather watch that.
You may be that heat may be there that weekend.
I'd rather watch Jeremy Pruitt at SEC Media Days.
Hey, he's just a ball coach. Just talks ball. That's what I like. None of that salesman.
But Jeremy Pruitt, they wanted to get rid of that game too. So,
yeah,
Jeremy Pruitt hates the troops too.
Jeremy Pruitt, I'll start that rumor.
Well, Phil was down for it too, so he definitely hates troops too. Somebody said it's a disrespect to General Neyland. I mean,
Blake said that it's a slap in the face, or like, I don't know the exact words, but essentially, like, Tennessee must not respect the Maxims. Yeah.
I don't remember any of the Maxims having anything about playing Army.
It's the Hill Forgotten Eighth Maxim. Yeah. We play Army every 45
years. You got to have like a special flashlight to read that one.
Yeah. Oh, golly. I kind of want to like pull. I mean, that's the thing. The thing that pisses me off, and he can say, I'm not a clickbait guy. I'm not a click blah, blah, blah. That's clickbait bullshit. Like, you want Dan Wolken it. And you want people to quote tweet your tweet so that you're on timelines. Like, that's what that take is for.
And how did this bullshit article come out like a week after we've already talked about this?
It's clickbait. It's clickbait. Clickbait. I mean, his pinned tweet is about Lane Kiffin. And then someone was like acting like freaking Blake was he was going to be a martyr. Like Josh Heupel was going to throw him off the Sun Sphere for this.
Blake should go to the rally.
I'll start the rally. Someone said props for writing something others don't want written. It's been written. Just not absurdly like you've said. Like, so many people have been like, this is dumb. Like, it was dumb for Tennessee to schedule it. It's dumb for them to pay him to get out of it. So many people have said that. He said, cut blocks are 100 legal and part of the game. These UT fans are living in 1998. No one said cut blocks are illegal, but they do lead to injury. Like, that's just a fact.
Right. You cut people because you can't block them one-on-one. That's literally what cutting is.
It's insane.
Graham Morgan asked, any thoughts on the new ticket price? We've kind of talked about this, I think, the last episode.
I still haven't read about it yet, though.
It sucks for the guys, for the people who are grandfathered in. It does suck for that. They are reducing the ticket prices for football, but they're making it more expensive for every other sport. Right. So, like, you're going to have to pay a donation. Because you paid a donation for football, usually you'd get – you wouldn't have to pay a donation for basketball or baseball or softball, and now you're going to have to do that. So it kind of sucks for the fans that have been fans for a long time. I used to be grandfathered in too. We got rid of our tickets while I was in college, and then we got ours back, and now we have to pay a donation. So I got lucky in that regard, I guess. But we have baseball season tickets, and now we're having to pay basically $500 more a ticket for those seats. So,
So yes, Graham, they would be honoring Medal of Honor recipients at the game, but they can do that at the Akron game too. I don't think it's disrespectful to honor them at the Akron game rather than the Army game. That's the bullshit I'm calling out. That he's like,
yeah, and does it have to be just Army? Like, because we're playing Akron, we can literally do it for anybody.
He said it's even more disgraceful when you consider that the 2022 Congressional Medal of Honor Society convention will occur that week in Knoxville. He said Medal of Honor recipients would have been recognized at the Army Tennessee game at Neyland Stadium. The convention still will occur, but attending the Akron Tennessee game will be an optional activity. It was probably going to be optional anyways. Would they all have gone? Maybe. Will they all go now? Maybe. It's just, again, it's all just absurd. Like, I will give Blake Toppenmeyer this credit right here. Yet Tennessee's decision to replace Army with an easier, or sorry, let's go back here. And it shows how far Tennessee football has fallen that it chickened out of playing a service academy. If that's the take you want to give, that's a perfectly okay take. Perfectly okay. Calling it disgraceful and a shame because it's disrespectful to the service academy is just stupid.
I agree. Blake,
it's
you suck. Blake, you suck. Blake, you suck. That dude's just like Blake gonna Blake, you know? It's so dumb. Whatever. Yeah, you can honor him anytime. That, like, you can honor him for the South Carolina game. It's sooner. Wouldn't that be better? Sooner's better.
Well, the Congressional Medal of Honor, that's the same week. That's the big issue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can still do it for Akron.
You can still. It's not.
Akron's probably got a ROTC program. We can honor them too.
I would love to see how many of the Medal of Honor recipients have watched any Army football games in their life. I mean, the over-under's got to be like 10 for total of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then some guy was quoted in saying that. I'll have to read more of this. I don't think I got to all this part.
Got some more questions after.
He said, it's a sad decision because on one act, because the Medal of Honor recipients could have gone to an Army UT game, which has a lot of heritage behind it. To me, it would have been a very prestigious game, UT playing Army, and it's been relegated to back burner status of UT trying to get its football program back into a winning way. UT and Army have played 7 times in the history of their schools. The last time Tennessee and Army played was 1986. It's not. Would it have been a cool game? I would have loved to have gone to it. But it's not historical. It's not. It's just people. I think people are. I'm making a bigger deal of it than I should be right now. So I guess I'm in that camp with them.
We got some more questions. Christopher Nichols, our guy, asked, given what we've seen so far from this team, is there a game on the schedule where UT could pull an upset? I mean, I guess this week would technically be an upset because we're not favored.
Yeah, I think originally I think you said Kentucky, which I agree. Mm-hmm. And I agree with more now. Kentucky, Missouri, I think are your big – I don't see Tennessee beating Ole Miss.
I don't either. No.
So that was my beginning of the season. I don't see it happening now.
No, I agree with you. I think Kentucky would be a bigger upset than probably Missouri. Yeah, I think both of those games are winnable games.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Agreed.
I think you should beat South Carolina, and if you lose to Vandy, I think Josh Heupel should be fired 100%.
Dude, I didn't read all this article, apparently. This is hilarious.
Vanderbilt's a fireable offense.
Losing Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Oh, leave him on the tarmac. It might be. Is it a home game this year? Tate, drive his ass.
100%. 100%. It's a home game.
Yeah, drive his ass, McGee Tyson, and fire him there. Like a dog going to the farm. Load him up in the car.
I mean, they are like.
They're terrible.
They're horrendous. Yeah, they're awful. We got one more question from Rocky Dennison. Said, can they clean up the penalties, drop passes, and overthrows? These are things that can't be corrected. You can clean up penalties, but you can't coach arm strength and completions. Are they just a 14-point team against elite schools, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida? I guess he meant like scoring 14 points.
Say that again.
He's asking, like, can they clean up the penalties, drop passes, and overthrows? You can clean up penalties, but you can't coach arm strength and completions. Are they just a 14-point team against elite schools like Alabama, Georgia, and Florida?
I think there's a lot of it. There's so much execution that comes into it. I think if the play calling's there, it obviously – if you can get the execution there, it'll be you'll obviously score more than 14 points. Maybe just 21, but that's more than 14, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if we score 14 points on Georgia, I think that's pretty good because they've yet to give up 14 points in a game so far this season. Now, they've played Clemson, UAB, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, but their defense is pretty legit.
Yes, it's going to be it's going to be tougher to score more than 14 on Georgia than it is Alabama, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
At least what we know right now.
Those some slants at Alabama.
Yeah.
He's going to have like a freaking Heisman game, isn't he, when we play Alabama? Oh,
for sure.
Henry T.
For sure.
That's all the questions I got.
Perfect. Most important of the week?
Yeah. Most important. Josh Gordon reinstated and signing with the Chiefs. You like it? Don't like it?
Is he ever going to – like, so is he eligible to play right now?
Yeah, I think he signs with the practice squad, but I think a promotion is, like, supposed to come, like, shortly after.
Gotcha. I mean, it's just going to make the Chiefs better, so.
Right. How long does he last is my question.
Oh, maybe a game. Maybe a game.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, I don't have the name.
Oh, did you like my tweet about the high noon today?
Oh, dude, that was good. Did I like it? I thought I did.
I don't. Oh, I was just seeing if you. I thought it was kind of witty.
It was great. I agree too. They need to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, screw pals, right? I mean, do high noon. That's. I'm just getting a whip house. Sorry.
My first one is Portland State coach. I think this was last week. Bruce Barnum. Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
Picked up a $14,000 tab after promising to buy beer for fans that came to the game.
Dang.
Okay, and isn't Portland State that – who – do you know the video I'm talking about of the guy going around? He has the great sayings.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Golly. I thought he was a Portland State coach at one point. I was like, man, they just have some legendary coaches. But.
Talking about Jason Brown?
No. Bob Green. Where did he coach at? Montana Tech. That is similar to Portland State.
Damn near. Green.
You don't know the guy I'm talking about, though?
I don't think so.
And you know what? We're going to take a break now from top moments for another kind of top moment in itself. It's the
top
greenisms of 2009. You know what I'm talking about, Bob Green. Take it away.
Our football team was like the kid that plays second French horn in the school band. We got to play better. You know, and that's a double-edged sword, you know. It's kind of like watching your mother-in-law go off a cliff in a Cadillac. You know, you got mixed feelings. It's kind of like when you go to the junior high dance in the eighth grade And the guy's dancing with the girl. How close did you get? How close did you get? How close did you get? Kind of like George Jones going to a hip-hop concert. Not much harmony there. And he wanted to go. He's like that black lab on the first day of pheasant hunting season. He was pulling at the chain. We're kind of like a woodpecker in a petrified forest. You know, just keep busy and look for opportunities. You know, it was not what I would call a modern art masterpiece. It was more like a Minotaur, Nebraska hometown paint job. But those are gone. I got a short memory, just like when I was in the third grade. Two of the best years of my life. I don't like that.
That goes on for like two more minutes.
Why does he sound like a really witty Joe Biden?
I don't know, but I love that guy.
I love him too.
I thought that was the same Bob guy Green. First. Bob Green, Montana Tech.
That's also the widest name I've ever heard.
It's a very wide name. He does coach football at Montana Tech. Yeah,
I mean, he kind of have to be. I like the hat. When'd you get
this
it?
This hat? This is the Knox.
Yeah.
One Knoxville hat. One Knoxville SC.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I got a shirt too. No big deal.
No big deal. Just you're a donor now, right?
No. I do own Chattanooga. No big deal.
Okay.
Part owner.
No, gotcha. Are Packers too? I feel like everybody's owner of the Packers too.
My dad got me ownership of the Packers he was a Packers fan
for Christmas. Oh, so it was a good game for you. You
yeah. I don't care about the Packers.
But. Your ROI is going up because of that game.
Exactly.
Justin Tucker, man. Special teams. Mike Eckler is loving this.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Tucker, 66-yard field goal for the win against Detroit that hit the crossbar and went in.
Dude, that's 66 yards. That's absurd. It's absurd.
I mean, he's past the line.
I mean, you have to – like, that's a heat check. Like, Justin Tucker makes everything. So, like, you're like, oh, why not? Roll him out there.
Like, the Lions are like, this is so far, I don't even have to rush him.
Did they have someone back there? I'm trying to remember.
I think they did.
I mean, surely.
Because, like, I think the Dolphins against – or somebody against the Ravens. It might have been the Dolphins. I don't remember who it was. No, against the – damn it. Somebody had 109 kick return.
Okay. Against Justin Tucker?
No, like this week.
Oh, this week?
Yeah.
Surely it wasn't the Dolphins. The Dolphins had 109-yard kick return. Jags against Cardinals. Okay.
It was the Jags. That's right. That's right.
I was about to say, yeah, dude, thanks, how did the Dolphins have 109-yard kick return and a safety from a screen pass in the same game? Did it result in a safety? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Joe, you want to get in here? You want to get in this most important? I don't know if you prepared anything, but
while he's coming in, I've got I had one more most important. Where did it go now? Oh, what was it? I don't know. Sorry, Joe.
No, you're good.
And apparently this makes it even better. So the Ravens tweeted drilling 60 yarders in warmups. We all remember his historic night on our last trip to Detroit. And some guy said, can't do that in a game, though, with a laughing emoji. Yikes.
Yeah, that was all-time bad take.
Cold takes exposed.
Yeah.
Screenshots last forever.
Yeah, that could
be. Joe, do you have any most importance?
No, but I just keep, like, it's so off topic, but I feel bad for Big Ben at this point. I know it's like NFL and stuff, but I just, it's like sad. Like, it feels like. Like watching him trip and like he just looks like so unathletic and I don't know. It's just
you think the Steelers are gonna put him in a home after that trip? He tripped over nothing. I don't even think he tripped over the ground. Turf monster.
Yeah, they need to watch out for him. Give Josh Dobbs his moment.
There you go. We heard it. Josh Dobbs. If you want to win, put five in. I don't even know. Is he still number five? Yes, he is. Do you have any more most important? Anybody else?
Andy Bowser won a rap contest this week. That was pretty cool. Well, he at least got one vote. I don't know if he won.
Did you? So him singing On For My City. Put On For My City.
Love that. Love that.
The Young Jeezy. That was a heater.
Yeah, that's an every Saturday thing, though, isn't it?
I don't know. He tweets so many videos, it's hard to keep up. But yeah, it was electric.
My first, I just want to read this tweet. I don't know if it's a fail because I think it's got to be a shtick. I don't think it's real. But Marty Mush tweeted, baseball would be the most watched sport if they allowed pegging.
You're not wrong.
Pornhub gets visited a lot, so he may be onto something.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. I don't know if I would watch it.
My baseball watching would probably stay about the same for the year.
I mean, this is a
I just read this on Twitter. Apparently, a Georgia Southern player was suspended for chugging a beer on top of a moving school bus before Saturday's game.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I saw that.
Good Lord.
And an interim had to suspend him because they just fired their coach.
He was probably entering the transfer portal anyway. That was his going out party.
Were they sure it was a beer? I mean, like,
that's fair.
The still picture I have, I mean, it's just like he's chugging something on a school bus. But I don't know.
I also love that it's on top of a school bus.
Yeah, where's the school bus at? Like, yeah.
Apparently they take Georgia, like they take school buses to games. So apparently someone said it was a cool story. So I'll have to read about that. I don't know how cool it can be to ride a yellow school bus. It could be. I don't know. Blake Topmeyer probably has something negative to say about it.
Did you see this? So Brian Campbell tweeted out the Browns. He's a Browns. I know you guys lost, but is there any chance Owen could get a jersey? And the Cleveland Browns said, let's do it, Owen. Who? He said Owen won. Go Steelers.
That was I saw that. That one was great.
That's awesome.
Did you see the Kentucky player shove that equipment manager?
Yeah, what? Okay.
Well, they said, like, they're like, it was a joke. They're friends. He shoved him.
Yeah, there was anger in that push. That was very much an aggressive push.
He went flying.
If he was like 2 feet to his left, he would have slammed his head on the equipment truck. Like,
well, usually if you see somebody coming on the sidelines, you move. But the equipment guy didn't move because he's like, obviously he's going to slow down before he gets to me.
He did. Like, he like stopped at him and just shoved him.
And then he just shoved him in his hands.
Yeah.
You assume if they're friendly, he would like pick him up and like help him, but he literally just turned the coin. He looked so mad when he turned around. Like, he was like, he did like the Iverson step over him. He literally just like turned around and like, whatever.
I mean, that's got to be targeting, right?
For sure. Yeah. Pushed so hard, his legs like flew up in the air. I mean,
it's got to be targeting or a charge. You got to call one of them.
I'll go
the feet were set. Like,
yeah, feet were definitely set. God bless. That's all I've got. That was my fails. And
I have one more. The official in the Cardinals game, Rondell Moore muffs a punt because the official throws a flag and it hits the football in the air.
Oh, that was, I didn't see that. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, like he's like underneath it and the ref like throws it from behind him and it hits the ball and then he muffs it.
Was he even able to touch it? Or did he just lose it in the air?
Yeah, he was able to touch it.
Okay.
Because it was coming down, like, right to him. Like, he was going to catch it.
Is that kick catch interference? The ref had to know, throw another flag on him?
Yeah.
Reach for the other one? Halo infraction, my own flag.
I mean, what that could have broke some fingers. We're talking about safety all the time. I mean, good Lord.
What was the deal with the kick punt return on the Tennessee game? I mean, where I was watching the game was like way too loud. So like, there were three flags on that one hit for Tennessee against Florida?
Yeah, Jimmy Holiday got thrown out for targeting.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other penalties.
I thought it was two targeting calls. Was it not?
On the same guy?
Can you call that?
I don't know.
Is it double targeting? I don't think that works.
I thought that's what I saw people say. But I have no idea. I need to look. I'm sure it's on the.
I think it was. They were supposed to get it like the 20-yard line, and they end up getting on R40 because of the penalties.
I thought it was on the hit, but he called the fair catch way too late for that. Like I didn't. I was so lost. That's what was going on.
Oh, maybe it was kick catch interference.
So can you double? Can you penalize for both of those things on the same play? They seem like
I think so because I think targeting can overlap any penalty over top of.
I guess you could try to. Will it have it in the?
Yeah, so it was kick catch interference and targeting. So
so dumb because he called a fair catch literally like as he was hitting him, which is just like that. There needs to be some sort of piss me off, but. So the whole game, so it's whole second half.
Maybe one day. Someone said we have a chance to beat Missouri. I hope we have a chance. I hope there's a chance.
What's Missouri -3 right now?
I mean, I haven't Missouri should be loving some Tennessee. We're the team that Connor Bazelak, that was his coming out party.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he didn't start last year. Might have been on. Missouri might have won.
Yep.
Well, that's all I got. I'm ready. I mean, I guess I'm ready for this week. Nooner, why not? Let's do it.
Bright and early. Getting some high noons before the game.
There you go.
We'll see. That's all I got, too. Joe, you got anything?
Nope. Let's get them. Awesome. Let's go get Missouri.
Go get them. Guys, that's all we got. Thanks for listening. We're bringing the boat in. We out.